Like, what are you good at?
I'd like to say I'm good at talking to people. That's right. What people have told me. Maybe that's not true, but I think I do a good job of connecting with people in some way. I like to have conversations with people. I think it's fun. I think it's kind of fun to find the links.
Yeah, but I would say that's true about Vanessa. Knowing her a little better than you do, I really appreciate her activity in our mentoring programs. How many mentors do you think you have?
I think at least four. At least four that I'm like close with, that I talk on a regular basis with.
Yeah, see, that's uncommon. You know, part of this whole journey will also be about, you can have all of these resources and programs at your fingertips, but are you taking advantage of it so that you are career ready, so that you are developing your passions, so that you are exploring opportunities? Because I've heard many times, and correct me if I'm wrong, that students just don't utilize it. And then they leave school and they're sort of lost. And they're not getting those job opportunities, or not understanding why they're not getting interviews and things like that.
Right. Well, some of that, which is one of my other thoughts here, you have to start early, at least thinking about it. So if you're in university right now, and even if you're a freshman, I know it's hard, right? But I know freshmen that are starting to get focused. I don't know when you thought, you know, a little bit more, but if you don't start early, and another thing, Jerry, we touched on it, is the power of networking. Mm-hmm. And even post-COVID time, students, I find, are sometimes reluctant to reach out to people. Maybe they don't know them. I feel a little awkward about that. This podcast is going to go into depth on how do you get over that, right? There are so many things that help you get career ready, but you have to get started early. You have to give it some thought. And quite frankly, you have to get out of your comfort zone sometimes. Would you reach out to a random person if you were told they might help you open up a door for a job?
So it's actually funny because you covered almost a lot of the a lot of the questions that I have from students. But yeah, to answer your question, one of my mentors, it was on Ram Connect, our People Grove platform. And I just messaged and I was like, hi, like, I'm Vanessa, I'm a senior, and I would love to chat or learn about your experience.
Sure.
Because as much as I know that I want to go into television and film, I don't know necessarily where I want to go, because there's so many like small roles you wouldn't even think of. And so I'm obviously, it's a little awkward, but I think one thing that I think of to kind of get myself out of that headspace of like, oh, it's weird to just message a stranger, is it is on a screen, and there's almost like, eventually if it progresses, it will be like a person-to-person contact. But as you're messaging them for the first time, if you don't get a response, it's okay. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they don't have time, and it's totally fine. And that just isn't going to be a person that will be a helping source for you. And I think that's totally fine.
That's another great point.
Yeah.
And something we can explore, because again, it's one of my passions, as you know, bringing technology into the mix to make it easier for younger people to reach out to well-established alumni or professionals who may be out there and willing to speak to people. We can't replace the one-on-one human contact with technology, but we can certainly make a community available. And that's what Vanessa and I work on at Fordham on our Ram Connect platform. People Grove gives us the tools to utilize all of these great relationship building and community programs, and we've taken it to another level so that Vanessa knows that once her profile is approved, it's a secure environment,
mm-hmm.
anybody who's on there is open to being contacted, and she can get a little background on them before she reaches out. We'll go into that, but technology is a big part of this.
So you guys have mentioned RAM Connect. Is that the platform that PeopleGrove is the
software?
The
company.
Software, and so mentoring is supported, right?
Right.
Or enabled by technology, to your point, right?
Correct.
And you have to have a platform, and it does make it easy. You know, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I talk to clients about a lot is, first of all, you need to be respectfully annoying is one of my favorite tips about networking, right?
Right?
And I've talked to you about this. To your point, first of all, maybe 10 or 15% of random outreach, maybe, right? If it's an alum from Fordham or Miami, I think you have a better chance. But if you're a student out there and you're reluctant, right? Who cares, right? It only takes one. And who is it, right? Friends, family, friends of family and friends, alum, random people. You use LinkedIn to identify. But I've even said to students, you might have an A-lister networking connection. They know you. They know they're going to go out. You know they're going to go out of their way to help you. Maybe it's a family member or a girlfriend's dad or mom, right? That's an A-lister because they know you, right? You can have a B-lister who maybe you've worked with them or somebody says, you know, they'll help you. Who knows, right? And then you have the random outreach. But they're all good. Because it only takes one. So, yes, we'll go in deeper, I guess, in a future podcast about all the aspects of networking is gold, right? And that's the key. All right, back to your question.
Should we start the questions?
Yes.
Yeah, we can
okay,
go.
So
these are questions from
who?
Actual students.
From actual students.
Okay.
All seniors who are going to be entering the workforce soon. And obviously, in future podcasts, we can do all students, you know, or really anyone.
Right.
But I reached out to some of my peers and asked. So the first one is, what is the rule of thumb for cold calling / cold emailing? And kind of how would, like, what would you recommend? How would you do it respectfully, maybe? Is it, like, weird? Is it awkward? I know we kind of touched on that, but.
Yeah, in the context of whoever the cold call might be, might be able to help.
Yeah,
open
like,
up a door or a
exactly,
job.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
So I like to establish something that you have in common. So always open up with, "Hi, we both went to Fordham University." "Hello, we both went to University of Miami." "We both went to Rutgers." Whatever that might be. "We both had an internship at Citicorp."
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that common connection may be. And never ask for a job or something of value right away other than a little bit of time to ask a question. And always have that question up front, prepared, and make sure it's not esoteric. It's a real question. It's a good question. "I'm applying for a job at your company. Would you be willing to speak with me about the culture?" Right? I'm not saying, "Can you help me get this job?" I'm saying, "I'm already applying. It's open. It's there." What you're doing in a case like that is you're even flipping the script, because maybe they get a bonus if they recommend you and you get hired.
Hmm.
You don't know that, but if you put that out there, you may be providing them value right away. There might be value for them responding to you at that moment that they read your email. So always be prepared to put that out there, offer it. Always start with the commonality, and then how can I add value to your situation before I ask you for value in mine.
You know, and there's a way, it's great points, I think, Jerry. I agree with everything you've said. And if you're going to do that, do some research up front about who you're reaching out to, which will enhance the likelihood that they may respond. You know, I often like to say, even if you're being interviewed by somebody, go to LinkedIn and stalk that interviewer, so to speak. Know what they're all about. Have a point of view. Be relevant to them and be authentic, I think, Jerry, as you were saying, right? But sometimes, and you know what, you said it, you might only get a 10 or 15% response rate when you're reaching out to a random person or a cold calling email, but it's part of the process and you need to feel okay. And if you don't get a response, I think as you said a few minutes ago, who cares, right? It only takes one. Jerry, you and I talk often about, you know, if somebody reaches out to us from the University of Miami, right, we're going to probably double or triple our likelihood of responding, right?
I can't see a reason not to respond.
Right. We're trying to be helpful, right?
Right.
An alum will do that, I'm sure, at Fordham and many, many other schools as well. So I guess the short answer is use good judgment, do it. It's okay. I would call that a C-lister. It's a random outreach. But you don't need, that person might be the one that opens up the door to get your career started. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and kind of going off of that, how, this is kind of a new question, but how often would you recommend, like how many times is too many to reach out to someone? And then also, like, let's say you worked with someone in the past, like, you know, how often should you reach out to them and kind of keep in touch?
Two different questions. Yeah. You want to take that first? Or?
Well, I just think, you know, you have to use your judgment.
Yeah.
If you know it's somebody who has told you, reach out to me, and they've responded to you before, life takes many different turns, and you should be respectful of their time and whether you might be annoying them. But you also kind of know, well, they did tell me to reach out, and I have had good discussions with them before. Maybe they haven't had an opportunity to respond.
Right.
So, you know, I like to use indicators like 2 weeks, 30 days, things like that. You're not going to wait 2 or 3 days and say, hey, how come you didn't respond to me?
Right.
But, you know, on top of that, before I hand it over to you, Bill, I just think a lot of young people have this wall that they put up. I can't stalk somebody on LinkedIn because it's going to look weird. And my point is this. They're stalking you on LinkedIn before you get to talk to them. And you wouldn't be on LinkedIn if you didn't want people to know what you're all about and to determine whether you have some commonality. So it's like a precursor to a relationship or a meeting. And sometimes it can be a resource to find out about the person. But you should never feel like you shouldn't look at LinkedIn. You shouldn't review what they're all about.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And I would say if you don't do it, it's actually a negative. If you're preparing for an interview or you're thinking about who you're going to reach out to, as I think we touched on, you better do that, right? Because if you don't, and I'm your interviewer, and you haven't done your research and, you know, looked at the company website or stalked me on LinkedIn or do what you have to do. But back to your original question, I think it's respectfully annoying, right? Yeah. And sometimes, you know, depending if you're an organized person, advice might be, put a little spreadsheet together, right? I reached out to Jerry 10 days ago, and I'm going to, if I haven't heard from Jerry, because Jerry's busy. Jerry's always busy, right? Always running around. Maybe it's going to be 10 days later. I'll ping him again just to see if there's an opportunity that he might respond this time. And that's okay, right? But I think it's judgment.
We also know each other well enough, so he knows if I don't respond, hit me up on a Saturday morning or a Sunday night, because he knows I'm out there, I'm not looking at my phone all the time, I may have missed something, and it's not a problem with me, because I'll see the ping and say, oh, I can't believe I missed a message from Bill.
Yeah, Jerry doesn't answer his phone all the time, and sometimes it doesn't go through,
right?
But he's a good texter. You gotta be a good texter, too, especially in your generation.
Yeah, no, that's another thing. I'm gonna kind of go back to the LinkedIn and, like, my generation, because I know that, like, Gen Z, there's been some things of, like, you know, we struggle in the workplace because we don't kind of understand professionalism, or like, you know, we maybe prioritize things that aren't the best for in business. So that's one great thing about this podcast, is it's like kind of you're able to rethink kind of how you present yourself in a workspace. But going back to LinkedIn and like stalking, I know, I think most of like me and my friends, we all are LinkedIn. We have like it on private viewing or whatever. So like you can't see who looks at your profile, but also other people can't see when you stalk them. But your conversation made me kind of think like maybe you should. So like if you have an interview and it shows like, oh, who looked at your profile, and the interviewer says that you looked at them, that's probably a good thing to like, it shows your interest and it shows that you're taking the time to go out of your way and kind of learn more about them. So you kind of shifted my whole view on
how would you feel if you went on a big interview and then the next day the person who interviewed you looked at your LinkedIn profile and you knew it?
I mean, I'd be flattered. I'd be like, wait, I made an impression. That's so that's exciting.
So why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Why take that out of the equation?
I'm going to go home and change my LinkedIn, my LinkedIn settings.
Yeah, I'll tell you another reason to do that, and that's preparing, and which we'll get to, a big topic in the future, for the interview, right? If you know that I'm your interviewer and you don't go on my LinkedIn and find out something, what I often say, you know, when I always ask you at the end of the interview, what questions, Vanessa, do you have for me? That's a typical, somewhere in the 30-minute interview that's going to come up, right? My advice has always been, you better have one that's personal to Bill or Jerry or your interviewer, and one that maybe is more strategic, right? But how would you know that if you haven't taken the time to stalk them on LinkedIn, right? For example, for me, right? A good one might be, hey, Bill, why'd you decide to spend 40 years at one institution, city, right? And it gives me an opportunity to say, blah, 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 right? What it was, respect, appreciation, whatever, right? But people love to know that you know something about them, and it's a great interviewee technique to be effective. And if you don't do it, they're going to say, why didn't you do it?
And people like to talk about themselves.
Of course. Yeah.
So I'm not kidding. You'll feel good as an interviewer when you get to tell your story a little bit.
Yeah.
And leave the interview thinking, I like that person.
No, when I was doing interviews for our mentoring program, I like would make a note if people didn't ask me a question, whether it was about me or my experience or about the program itself, because I was like, oh, like maybe you don't care or you're not super. So after doing however many interviews I did, I don't know how many in like a span of 2 weeks, that was one thing that I was like, next time you go into an interview, make sure you have at least one question, because if you're just like, no, I don't have anything for you.
No, that's not the right answer.
You know, then it's like, oh, so you don't really care. Whether you care or not, that's just what kind of that action implies, I feel like.
You know, we're teasing, obviously, future topics here for this podcast, right? And all of these things are relevant. It goes back to what is career readiness, right? Your introductory question. All of these things are career readiness, right? As students or your BFFs or whatever, right? Do you talk about this kind of stuff with your friends? Like, hey, I just had an interview and did that. Or, you know, this one never got back to me. Or that interview was horrible and I felt, I mean, how much of that, just curious. You're all in the same mode right now, job seeking. Right?
I mean, I think, especially because we all are kind of in that whole limbo of like looking for jobs, we do talk about it a little bit more. I don't think it's as specific as this interview was like great because, you know, I did this. But I think if you had a good experience or like you're waiting to hear back from a company, like I know one of my best friends is waiting to hear back about an internship for the summer. So we do talk about that because we're all in a similar field and we all kind of want to know what's going on and how we're doing in it. So I'd say we do talk about it a good amount.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah. So we're going to go deeper again on all these topics in the future sessions.
Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, what else you got there?
I guess this is, we've talked about networking a lot, and one of the questions was, how do you learn how to network? And I guess you can't, I feel like, at least, I guess I'll go on and answer it first. I think it's something,
you're not allowed to answer your own question.
I know, well, technically it's not mine, So I guess I would personally say it's something you kind of learn, you just have to practice. But yeah. I guess kind of changing, what are your like top tips for networking?
Absolutely.
So I became a great networker out of necessity. And the necessity was I had to feed a child. And I was out on my own and trying to drum up business. And I just had that sense of urgency that I had to build a business and I had to have clients and I had to do all of these things to build a life for my family. So out of necessity, I just started meeting as many people as I could, going to as many networking events as I could. There was no LinkedIn. There were no cell phones, really. You would be invited to certain events. You would show up. You'd hand out business cards, and then you'd wait. It really made it necessary to develop a pitch and to get your message across right away. Because you wanted to meet as many people as possible and create that value proposition. That's why you're really told today, have your elevator pitch and, you know, have your LinkedIn page and all of these things. It's all the evolution of what we did early in our careers. When you understand it from that perspective, it becomes much more clear why you're doing these things and how to best approach it.
Yeah, you know, I agree with all of that, Jerry, and I would add a few things, Vanessa. The authenticity, right? Okay. What are you giving back to that person in some cases, right? Especially once you get to the workplace, right? You've established a credibility. You've gone out and helped somebody. Even, you know, you're seeking a job. And then somebody says, you know what, I'm going to help Vanessa. She's really been helpful to me in something totally different. And now it's a friend of yours who has a mom or a dad that's in a company that you might be interested in. You've established credibility. You've established authenticity. You've established sincerity. That networker, it might want to go out of their way to help you, right? And so it's not only about what, as you said this, what are you getting out of it, meaning you, Vanessa, but you establish credibility up front, you're going to get return. So it's not only about, it's a two-way. So I think about it like years of our careers, right? I still talk to people I started with, you know, 40 years ago that are networking, I'm sure you do today.
You
right?
might even be talking to them about how you can help their kids.
Exactly. Right. But it is, and that's a broader topic, and that's another topic we'll go deep on. But once you establish that and you've given something to somebody else and you've established your credibility, they're going to go out of their way to help you more often than not, if that makes sense.
Okay. Great. And then I guess our last question is, how would you stand out when talking to people or when you're applying to jobs or, you know, making your resume stand out? How do you make yourself as an applicant or as a person in a company or workforce kind of like known?
First of all, personal brand will be another topic, right?
We'll cover that.
We're going to go deep on that. I'm a huge passionate advocate, as is Jerry, about the importance of building your brand and then making sure your brand is aligned with the way other people are seeing you. And that's a whole podcast in itself because it's critically important. But
How would you stand out when?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Everybody has a unique value proposition. And sometimes when we're coaching professionals or students entering the workforce, we spend a lot of time figuring out what your unique value proposition is. It's not something you don't have. And many times young people say, I don't really have anything to offer. That's not true. Everybody has a unique value proposition. You have to do a little exploration, but it's never the same as someone else's. And it's always right there. You just have to pull it out and figure out how to present it.
Yeah, and to your point of how do you stand out, right? It's, I think a lot of the tips there go to authenticity and sincerity, right? As an interviewer, and you've interviewed hundreds and I have thousands of people, right? Here's what we don't like. When somebody's overly scripted, you just, you know, you're not being authentic. And interviewers can see that. They see right through it. And the preparation is critical. But the sincerity and the authenticity in the delivery.
Preparation builds confidence. And that's what this is all about.
Yes.
Can you be confident enough so that you don't come off as foolish or stubborn, but also genuine, authentic, and somebody that they would like to have as part of the workforce?
Right. And passionate, by the way. I mean, it goes to, you know, an interviewer does not want to hear somebody in monotone with no energy. That's another interviewing tip, which we'll get to. They start rolling their eyes or overly scripted, right? But if you show energy in your communications and your passion, you've done your research, you've prepared, you're authentic and sincere. I mean, we can go deep on all these topics. We will in the future. That's what gives you that edge. And if you've spent all this time, let's say, getting to the interview, which isn't easy, you got to crush it. And you got to prepare for it. And you got to come across real and sincere. So more on that as we go forward in this podcast series, right?
I think we should wrap it up for
today. I was about to say, I'm out of questions.
All right. So, what are we doing with this? Where would people find us? What's going on
so
here?
So we have a website, spillingthecareertea.com.
We do.
You can find us on LinkedIn under Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast.
Yeah.
And
nobody knows what that means, by the way. We're dating ourselves.
Well,
it was a movie, right?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Right, but she doesn't know that.
Yeah, but that's okay.
All right.
It's, you know, part of life.
Okay.
Right? Part of our experience.
Spilling the career tea is
spilling
for,
the career tea
is for our generation.
All right.
Yeah.
I had no idea what that meant until he explained it. But
Vanessa may have actually come up with that name.
Is that right?
Maybe. I don't know. Right. Maybe when we were brainstorming.
All right. So where are we going? What are people going to see and when?
I encourage people to go to these outlets. We'll have Instagram. We'll have TikTok.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn. We'll have a website. Join us periodically. Ask us your questions. We'll be covering topics that we feel are the things that Bill and I are asked about the most. And we'll try and bring in guests that can help you find jobs through their experiences, but also maybe can provide some tips so that you can feel like you're not out there alone. You can make that career pivot. You can get that first job. You can do the things you need to do while building confidence.
I think you said it all. And that's where we're going, right? And I think you did an excellent job setting us up today for the future, and love the questions from students and yourself that are going through the journey.
I'm excited.
Thank you for doing this
for
us
having
and
me.
With us. And hire Vanessa.
Yeah.
Go.